you could own an on-air light from the Old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
And if you call, I will answer. And if you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, September the 28th. For the remainder of the program, we'll go through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. We'd love to hear from our listeners. We try to respond to as much of the email as we can on the air and as many of the comments as we can as well. We benefit from your show suggestions, your criticisms, and your questions and comments as well.
Before we begin, we have an addition to the Lutheran Public Radio family. Lord Feichtinger, would you like to inform our listening audience?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Jeff. Last week, I have a son. I have three girls, and my wife and I, on the 21st, last Monday, she delivered a son. We have a boy. I have a son. And as Jeff says, a new Lutheran Public Radio family member, Frank James Feichtinger, and he's doing wonderfully. We love this kid. He is so sweet. Of course, like any other child, I know he'll grow up to be as rotten as can be, but as he is right now, he's fantastic. So thank you for letting me take the time, Jeff.
Yeah. And when will you be getting that poor, miserable sinner sweetness and all baptized?
Very soon. I'm trying to work it out so Pastor Whedon can baptize him. So as soon as possible. He's busy here in the near future. So I'm trying to work that out as fast as I can.
All right. Well, welcome. Was that his name, Frank?
That's been the first son in my family for probably 9 or 10 generations. So they all have different middle names, the same first name. And, you know, my brother is the Frank, you know, of our generation, but he doesn't have any children. So I kind
of... of our generation.
That's right.
I like that concept. The Frank that's of right. our generation.
So I kind of felt obligated, but we love his name. And regardless, he's here and doing good. Wonderfully.
Good.
Great to hear. Good to have you back, Craigo. All right, let's begin with Lauren in Oklahoma. Longtime listener, first-time writer, and cradle Lutheran, as you'd say. I recently listened to your segment with Jeremy Stevens regarding the film Cuties, and while I see he's qualified to discuss 15th century poetry, I'm not sure why he's qualified to discuss the film. How'd you vet this fella? Did he get a pass because he has a column at the Federalist, which I generally love? Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for listening, Lauren in Oklahoma.
He did write an article for the Federalist, and what we had him on for was actually his area of expertise. He's written extensively about secularization and British poetry. PhDs get very narrow, you know. You can't have a broad PhD. It has to be as narrow as possible. And that's where he has focused on his dissertation for Columbia University. And one of his areas of expertise is this introduction, this period in British poetry, where in the name of art, distasteful things, ugly things were introduced. And so he was responding at the Federalist and in our interview to the defense of that Cuties film, that it's art and it was only depicting these terrible things, the sexualization of little girls, in order to make a moral point. And he was debunking that particular argument, which is right in his wheelhouse. So he was, I think, eminently qualified to answer that question. Now, I would hope you'd also listen to our interview with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute, and she took a broader kind of cultural moral approach to it, responding to some of the other objections. But a defense of Cuties had been raised that it is art, and it's in the vein of this kind of art that wants to make a moral point by depicting the very thing that it's condemning, which is kind of ludicrous on its face.
Lindsay writes, in light of the recent David Lyden piece and the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there's a lot of talk on abortion legislation. But how should we as Christians understand the death penalty? Is it possible to be pro-life without opposing capital punishment? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Lindsay.
Well, we've done some excellent segments in the past on a Christian view of the death penalty. And our conclusion has consistently been, and I believe we had a conversation with years and years ago with Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary about the death penalty. He was walking through the Old Testament, the New Testament, establishing the fact that the death penalty is permitted by God. It's permitted by Scripture. It's recognized in the New Testament as well. But that does not bind a Christian to favor the death penalty or to oppose the death penalty. And he makes the distinction, if I recall, between the fact of the death penalty and the nature of its, I don't want to make a bad pun here, but the nature of its execution. Is a capital crime being punished in a just and fair way? Does the punishment fit the crime? How is it applied is basically his. You can disagree about how it is applied, but Christians, based upon Scripture, need to recognize that the death penalty is nowhere in there condemned. Now, can a Christian individual conscience find the death penalty abhorrent and say, not on the basis of Scripture, but on the basis of my conscience, I don't want to support the death penalty because I don't believe it can be justly administered? Well, of course. We can't bind the conscience the way, say, official Roman Catholic teaching does, which says you have to oppose it. They do it for really good reasons, but you can't bind consciences there because it is permitted and recognized in the New Testament. Now, as to whether or not you can be pro-life and be for the death penalty, there are many people who say you can't because they have a very kind of simplistic view of what it means to be pro-life. Pro-life is not taking innocent life. It has nothing to do with the state's authority to administer even capital punishment against crimes that the people determine deserve it.
Bob lives in Mississippi, and he writes, what's the difference between the Lutheran Confession series you recently concluded and the Lutheran Confession series you recently started? I look forward to the new series because I learned so much from the first one. And he said, you don't have to read this one. I know how much you dread doing so, Jeff. Thanks for listening in Mississippi, Bob.
And he did it anyway. I don't know what the difference is going to be because we've only done one episode of the new series. Again, for those who are not in the know on this, we did a probably several hundred plus part series with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House on the Lutheran Confessions, going through all of the Lutheran Confessions. We didn't do it in order. It started as just a thing on the Formula of Concord. Then we decided to move on to a different part of the Confessions, and then we kind of just jumped around. And we decided when we were done with that, it would be too much work to try and assemble all of those several hundred episodes onto one page. So why not just start it over again? It's good material. It's great material. We've all learned a lot in the course of doing this. We should constantly be studying the Confessions. So why not start it over, start building that one resource again? And maybe the difference is that Wilkin and McCain have had practice this time in doing this. And I think that, I mean, Paul already has an encyclopedic knowledge of the Confessions and of the history surrounding it, but even he has been studying and learning for this thing. So I think the second one will probably surpass the first one because we'll both be able to bring a little more keen knowledge of the Confessions to the situation. We are responding on this Monday afternoon to listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. When we come back, a question about our 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I ain't got time. No faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
You could own an on-air light from the old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
The epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
Operator, help me please get through to my baby way overseas.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Folks, you have 2 days left to take advantage of a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. You can save $25 on a one-time clean or $25 on your first two cleans, thanks to the Cleaning Authority. When you contact the Cleaning Authority to request a free estimate, be sure to mention Issues Etc. In Greater St. Louis, you can call 314-690-9877, 314-690-9877. Remember to mention Issues Etc., and you'll find all of this information at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The offer expires on the 30th of September. The Cleaning Authority.
Here's Beverly. She says, hello, I'm wondering if you set the date for the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. I am hoping it's not June 24th through 27th, because that is the weekend of the National Lutheran Women's Missionary League Conference. This LWML conference will be in Lexington, Kentucky, very close to my home, so I am planning to attend it. But I have always wanted to attend an Issues Etc. conference as well. The problem that I have is that I'm often listening to your podcast about 2 months behind, so I don't find out about your conference early enough to plan to attend. Please let me know your dates as soon as possible. I love your show. It is the only podcast I listen to. Thanks for listening, Beverly.
Beverly, thank you very much. We have set a date for the 2021. Now, again, this is all dependent. COVID has made everything contingent. What are the dates for our wonderful, hopefully in-person 500 attendee conference at Concordia University Chicago this coming summer?
Friday, June 11th and Saturday, June 12th, 2021 on the lovely campus of Peter Bender's alma mater, Concordia University Chicago.
All right. So that's the date. It's, again, that's as set in stone as we can make it for the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Hi, Paul from Austin, Texas. A question for Dr. Kevin Golden on the Book of Jonah. He's spoken of repentance. I'd like to see if he would do a word study on the word in Hebrew, repentance, because he's spoken of repentance on the part of people of Nineveh. He's talked of repentance of the Lord, which the Jehovah Witnesses, by the way, use as proof that God changes his mind and is not omniscient. And the evangelicals probably also say we need to do something in repentance. So my question would be, is the word for repentance the same in all cases? Because Dr. Golden also referenced, although I don't think there's a word for it in Jonah, the repentance or non-repentance possibly of Jonah. Then secondly, is the contrition of repentance solely the gift of God, work only through the word of God, or is there a component of the will operative in repentance? Thank you. Paul from Austin, Texas.
Thanks, Paul. Two excellent questions. I will leave it to Dr. Golden to answer the first one because he is the expert in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the book of Jonah, so he can sort that out via email. The second question is a little more up my line, which is the part of repentance that is contrition. You ask, is it solely the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, or is there a component of the will involved? That's an excellent question. Now, as we experience it, from our subjective standpoint, it feels as though the will is involved, like the will is being broken or turned there. Well, it certainly is by the Holy Spirit. Let's remember what Scripture clearly teaches, that true repentance consists of two parts. The first being godly contrition, that is sorrow over sin. That is worked by the Word of God, in particular, the Holy Spirit working through the law to first convict us, show us our sins, and then bring about that sorrow over sin in the face of God's wrath. Fear of God is also involved there too. There's nothing wrong with a healthy fear of God. And only the Holy Spirit can work this kind of repentance. There is a human kind of repentance that is, well, it ranges from I'm sorry I got caught to I fear punishment or I feel bad that I did that. But this is different. This is something that only the Holy Spirit can work. I would not spend much time worrying about the emotional content of that contrition because that's a rabbit hole that will lead you away from what the second part of repentance is, according to Holy Scripture. The second part of repentance is faith. And that is worked, again, only by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel. The law cannot work faith. It can work contrition in that element of repentance, but it cannot work faith because the law gives you nothing to believe except its promises, which you know already because the law is speaking, do not apply to you because you have not kept the law perfectly. The gospel, on the other hand, shows you nothing of your sin, but only Christ's righteousness and him bearing your sin for you. So those are the two parts of true repentance, and both parts are worked only by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Now, you ask, is there an element of the will involved? Not in terms of cooperating with the Holy Spirit, but the will is being converted by the Holy Spirit. The will is involved in that it is the will and the mind and the heart, however you want to break it apart, but definitely the human will that is being worked upon by the Holy Spirit. He converts the will so that we no longer desire to do the evil and we no longer desire to sin, but we actually desire to do good and to do what God wills. And that's the constant work of the Holy Spirit. Apart from that, we fall out of repentance. We fall from the Christian faith entirely. A very, very good question.
And congratulations to Paul in Austin, Texas, the first person to have a comment played in our new studios. The comment line is back, Wilkin.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Took us 6 weeks, a little more than 6 weeks. But she's back, 618-223-8382. And I can just tell you, you have a better chance of making the cut by leaving your question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line than sending a lengthy email to the producer.
Because Jeff decides which ones he's going to read, and the lengthy ones get a little difficult for him.
Actually, I do give you most of them to preview. But yes, if you really want it desperately answered by Pastor Wilkin or responded to, leave it on the comment line, 618-223-8382. This comes from Gerald in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have not yet listened to your latest podcast on the defamation lawsuit against David Dalyden against Planned Parenthood, but it just occurred to me that so many people are mourning rightly over loved ones lost now, counting 200,000 to the COVID-19 outbreak, but are completely unfazed by the fact that over 600,000 abortions were performed in 2016, the last data update by the Centers for Disease Control. As an aside to this, I also lost an aunt to COVID. I am not some callous bystander. Where are the headlines every time we lose another 100,000 babies to abortions throughout the year? I think it is an indictment on the values of our country Thanks for the great work you all do, including bringing right to life issues to our attention. And thank you for listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Gerald.
Gerald, thanks very much. You're right. I mean, just the sheer numbers, it boggles the imagination that as much a tragedy as the 200,000 dead are under COVID, so much more great a tragedy are the 600,000 dead due to abortion in 1 year. The death toll of abortion dwarfs the death toll of COVID. And that is not to diminish the COVID death toll, but to say we have a death toll that's unacknowledged by the media, unacknowledged by many of our leaders, unacknowledged by many of the people in the United States, that is going on right under our noses every year. It outstrips any pandemic that has ever been. And in the long history of abortion, in America alone, we're talking about America alone, if we were to include abortion in the infant mortality statistics of the United States, I ran the numbers some years ago, the infant mortality rate of the United States would be second to the bottom of all countries in the world. I mean, the most, somewhere in the neighborhood of 24%. That's as bad as it could possibly get. Here's a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about our interview on QAnon.
Hi, this is Paul Delafield, Wisconsin. Regarding the program yesterday, September 10th, regarding Q or QAnon, if anything was said about the possibility of more than one person being Q, I missed it. But I think that might be the case. Also, fake Qs, at least for monetary purposes, was taken up, but not Qs, fake ones for governmental or theological purposes, at least as I understood it. Thought you might be interested. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for the comment. I do not recall if we mentioned that there were perhaps multiple people posing as this mysterious figure out there on the internet, Q. I think what we do need to recognize is a lot of those questions will never be answered, and they're probably not that relevant. We should focus on the issues that are being raised there. And we need to apply the same razor of reason, that Occam's razor of reason, to even if we want to believe it, even if we're inclined to believe it, we're emotionally kind of attached to something like a conspiracy theory. We need to apply our reason as we would to anything else. We need to recognize that conspiracy theories are a form of idolatry. There's no doubt about it. People cling to conspiracy theories because it brings order to the world they live in, and it gives them some kind of hope, even if it's a very dark hope. It gives them some kind of a hope, and they look to the theory to answer all their questions about life and purpose and the meaning of life and why things are the way they are. And that looks an awful lot like a god. That's why I say conspiracy theories, regardless of whether they come from the left or come from the right, are a form of idolatry. And Christians have no business with idolatry.
This comes from Brian in Elgin, Illinois. I have listened to Issues Etc. every day since discovering it in 2013. Well, thank you very much. I have attended all of the Collinsville and Chicago conferences since 2014. This is a super fan right here.
Oh, yeah.
My family and I have been educated and edified by countless wonderful segments we've heard on Issues Etc., and we are grateful for helping us grow in the faith through all the wonderful teaching we've received through Issues Etc. However, it wasn't until Tuesday's Responding to Listener Email segment that I finally heard the voice of a bona fide angel on Issues Etc. My nomination for Soundbite of the Week is around the 850 mark in program 2594, the velvet tones of one Jeff Schwartz crooning some Moving On by Missouri. 10 out of 10. You guys and Deaconess are the best. Thanks for all you do. And thank you for your vote and your support. Looking forward to your vote in November there, Brian, in Elgin, Illinois. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. For those who don't know what he's talking about, that was the last time we did listener email, I believe. And we got into some sort of side conversation about what? The best romantic song? What was it?
Yes, that's true.
The best romantic song, and which is a fantastic open lines question if you're just doing regular old radio. Best romantic song, because there's so many out there. And Jeff decided to favor us. The listeners obviously appreciated more than we did, but he decided to favor us with the his rendition of, what was it? Who Are You Doing?
It's been a long, long time. Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
But, oh no! But this is different.
This is different.
This was talking about the one hit wonder Moving On by the group Missouri.
Oh.
But now listen to this. Nathan in Iowa. Here's what I was going to read next. Episode 2594. Yes, I'm one of the three people on the planet who actually listening to responding to listener email. Thank you, Nathan. He says, Jeff singing and channeling Louis Armstrong, pure gold, now the ringtone on my phone.
No.
I think I've got a whole nother career, guys. I don't know. I can who can go from Louis Armstrong to AOR Moving On by the group Missouri? Who? I have no genre boundary, maybe. I don't know.
You can't be classified. You're one of the...
You can't put a label on
me. No, but maybe a solo career is in the offing here, you know?
I think it's the new professional studios that we have make me sound a lot better than I really am. That's what I think.
And it made him sound a lot like Louis Armstrong when he was singing that song.
And on that same segment... So there are more than three people listening, because this is the third email talking about that. This is Jason in Arizona. He said the music mindless banter is strongly preferred over the sports mindless banter.
We've avoided doing any sports mindless banter in the last 20 minutes of the program. We probably should mention, just for those who need to hear this, that the St. Louis Cardinals actually cinched a berth in the playoffs.
Didn't everybody make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I think everybody made the playoffs. Well, when four
it's
of
like the NHL anymore.
Yeah,
that's right.
When four of the five teams in your division make the playoffs, probably isn't that big of a deal. So there's your little taste of mindless banter. You get your music, you get your baseball.
This comes from Elaine. She says, so happy for your success in new offices. Just wanted to thank you for Pastor Whedon's Bible studies. The word of the Lord endures forever. I listen in the morning. As of a few days ago, my husband had a stroke. I will be finding out more today. He can speak okay, so there is hope. And at the same time, I am going for cataract surgery. This study has given me encouragement and help. Many thanks, concludes Elaine.
Elaine, thank you very much, and we will be praying for your husband. And we are happy to serve you in any way possible.
Tomorrow?
What's on Issues, Etc. tomorrow? I'm looking at my calendar. I got nothing.
I know. That's because I'm talking. I can't talk and type and be a professional recording artist, musician at the same time.
You're going to have to choose one.
I'm going to have to choose one. It's Teaching in Sunday School with Pastor Lesson with Pastor Baker. Last week it was the birth of Isaac, correct? So it's something...
But I thought I saw an email that said we were off a week.
Yeah, we are off a week. That's going to require us doing two shows this week with Pastor Baker. So let's just get the one tomorrow out of the way first.
All right.
Don't know what the topic is. And then we're following up on your conversation with Pastor Geese on the criteria for Best Picture.
Oh, we are?
Yes. He's got a follow-up to that.
All right. That sounds like a fantastic conversation. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. So we'll be looking forward to talking with Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Pastor Ted Geese will give us more of his very insightful thoughts on what qualifies for Best Picture when the Oscars come around. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The Cleaning Authority has a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. You can save $25 on a one-time clean or $25 off your first two cleans. Learn more at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, if you live in Greater St. Louis, call 314-690-9877, 314-690-9877. Be sure to mention Issues Etc. The offer expires on September 30th. Facebook.com/issuesetc.